Informative and entertaining programs. This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The FBI has interviewed more than three dozen Bush administration officials, including political advisor Karl Rove and press secretary Scott McClellan, in its investigation into the leak of an undercover CIA officer's identity. The interviews have extended beyond the White House into other government agencies. The Defense and State Departments and the CIA itself are also part of the probe. The focus, however, remains on the White House, two law enforcement officials said, on condition of anonymity. While the initial interviews have yielded no major breaks, the FBI is satisfied that they are making major progress and have not encountered any stalling tactics. So far, no grand jury subpoenas have been issued, they said. House and Senate negotiators said on Wednesday that they had agreed on the structure of a prescription drug benefit to be offered to 40 million elderly and disabled people in the biggest expansion of Medicare to date. The tentative agreement signaled new momentum for the Medicare bill, with Republicans voicing optimism that they would soon complete work on the measure, their highest domestic legislative priority. Federal agents raided Walmart's headquarters and 60 of its stores across the country Thursday, arresting more than 300 illegal workers in an immigration crackdown at the world's largest retailer. The workers were members of cleaning crews hired by outside contractors, but federal law enforcement officials said Walmart had direct knowledge of the immigration violations. They cited recordings of meetings and conversations among Walmart executives, managers, and contractors. Two Green Party senators who heckled President Bush during his speech before Australia's parliament were barred from the chamber Friday during an address by China's president. Anti-war legislators Bob Brown and Curry Nettle interrupted Bush three times Thursday protesting the war. They were ordered out but refused to leave. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
From condoms to coffees, a tidal wave of trademark applications using shock and awe in their names is hitting the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. 7 months after the most overused cliche of the Iraq War entered the American jargon, a patent office official said on Thursday it had received shock and awe applications for golf clubs, pesticides, dietary supplements, video games, salsa, energy drinks, yo-yos, lingerie, Bloody Mary mix, and infant action crib toys. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
What if the White House and Congress were to do something sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone, instead of, well, you know, the opposite of all of the above, as they've been doing? Here's one big idea that would definitely be a plus for our people and for future generations. Launch a 10-year, $300 billion crash program to provide energy independence for America. This would be a nationwide effort involving millions of us grassroots people to develop, build, and run a high-speed rail network, a distribution system for hydrogen-powered cars, energy-efficient buildings and appliances, solar and wind power systems, and other means to kick our nation's costly oil addiction. It's called the Apollo Project, and it's a proposal that has been put together by 10 unions, including the steel workers, auto workers, mine workers, service employees, machinists, and electrical workers. Among other good results, their bold plan can restore America's manufacturing jobs, link blue-collar America with the environmental movement, eliminate the need for more oil wars, build a sound energy infrastructure for the future, spur a national construction boom, stimulate the economy from the ground up, excite and unite workaday Americans in a shared mission, and provide a positive model for the rest of the world. Now that's sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone. Oh, frugal doodle, cry the naysayers in the White House, Congress, and oil corporations. Where are you going to get $300 billion to finance this? I say we should get it from where it went. Washington just doled out $350 billion from our public treasury to enrich elites who are already super rich. Let's put $300 billion of that back in the treasury to finance this Apollo program for the good of all, instead of watching the privileged stick it in foreign bank accounts or buy more mansions in France. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the Apollo proposal for yourself, check out ApolloAlliance.org.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations over the IE America Radio Network, beaming down from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system and broadcasting around the world. Just got an email about 15 minutes ago from a listener in Japan, oddly enough, on several different internet radio stations, live365.com, this network station, ieamericaradio.com, and my favorite, radiopower.org, with archives at whiterosesociety.org. You can find all that stuff at tomhartman.com, where you can also visit our online live chat room, where you will find one of the most erudite, interesting, fascinating, insightful, and thoughtful conversations on the internet going on during the 3 hours that this program's on the air, from noon to 3 Eastern Time, every day, Monday through Friday. We have on this program, there's so much to cover today, and there's a mind-boggling amount of news, and we've got a couple of really great topics that I want to drill into here as well. But before I get into that, we have an extraordinary opportunity. As you know, many times, my theory of management is that it's always better to catch people doing things right than to catch people doing things wrong. If you catch people doing things wrong enough, you demoralize them. If you can catch people doing things right, they want to do more of it. And so one of my, and not just management, just life in general, right? And so one of my favorite things is to find people who are really doing cool stuff and do a little catch you doing something right segment here on this program, and we've been doing that for a long time. Rarely do we actually have that person on the air, but today we do, and it's David Sirota. According to Newsweek magazine, at a little before 6 each morning, a wiry 27-year-old political operative fires up his computer in his Washington, D.C. apartment while other Democratic spinners are still in bed dreaming about their next power breakfast. Stubble-faced, bleary-eyed David Sirota is already at the keyboard, hacking out a daily barrage of anti-Bush media clips, commentary, and snappy quotes. David is the director of strategic communications for the Center for American Progress. He came there after 2 years as the chief spokesman for Democrats on the U.S. House Appropriations Committee. And prior to that, he served as a spokesman for Congressman Bernie Sanders, who, in fact, I had dinner with last Friday, and worked on various political campaigns, including the 2000 Montana Senate race. He's been published in the New York Times, Baltimore Sun, Progressive Populist, other publications. David, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom, thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure and an honor. By the way, Steph, our engineer in Detroit, I have an incredible echo in my ears. So I don't know if there's something that you can do about that, but if not, that's life. David, I noticed in the Newsweek piece on you that they, perhaps characteristically, I mean, this is kind of the way the media does these things, characterized you as turning out a daily barrage of anti-Bush stuff, media clips, commentary, and snappy quotes. My sense of what you're doing is that there's a lot more than just anti-Bush in there. You want to tell us about what you're doing with the Center for American Progress?
Center for American Progress is a nonpartisan research and educational institution that is basically established to start reinvigorating and galvanizing progressive politics. Now, does that mean a lot of the stuff that we put out contrasts sharply with what President Bush is doing? Of course, because President Bush is one of the most conservative presidents that this country has seen, at least in the last 20 or 30 years, if not the last century. So I think the characterization in the story was that we are an anti-Bush operation. That's not exactly accurate. We are a pro-progressive operation, and that means that much of the information we put out is going to contrast against President Bush. But again, we have always said we are happy to work with Democrats, Republicans, Independents on any issue that we can. It's about progressive ideals, not about parties.
Yes, I agree. And tell us a little bit about and I think it's so important to make that point. It is just amazing to me how the mainstream media puts this spin on things so often. And, you know, the media that the right-wingers all say is the liberal media. And I guess, you know, they just don't get things right all the time. Tell us a little bit about the Center for American Progress. I suspect, I've mentioned it a few times on the air, but I suspect most of our listeners, it being new, don't know a great deal about it.
The Center for American Progress we basically started building it somewhere around June or July. It was conceived of as a response to what the conservative movement has been doing over the last 20 years. That is, investing heavily in conservative intellectual infrastructure. You've got 300 conservative think tanks and policy organizations in Washington, D.C., and you don't have a real substantial presence on the other side.
Right.
So there was a real lack, a void there. So this was set up. It's headed by John Podesta, who was President Clinton's former chief of staff. There are a lot of really great people there, and our goals are basically to give progressives on Capitol Hill and throughout the country material information, analysis, and reports about what's going on in public policy so that we can start really fighting the trench fights that we need to be fighting on these issues on a daily basis. So we cover all the issues. We're trying to tackle everything from environmental stuff to labor stuff to worker rights, to wages, to the economy, and to the war in Iraq. And if you go to our website, which is www.americanprogress.org, you can see that we're all up and running and launched.
That's great. I'm so impressed with and pleased by the fact that this thing is there. And next week, there's an event that's going to be held at the Center for American Progress, at a hotel in Washington, D.C., and I'll be broadcasting live from there on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. And bring our listeners up to date on that. And by the way, if any of our callers have a question for David, 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937. Tell us, two questions, actually, David. Number one, let us know about this conference next week. And number two, how do you respond to the people on the left who say that we need these right-wing think tanks because the media is all left and that there's all this left-wing bias and ABC, CBS, NBC, and, you know, that's why we've got talk radio and what a left-wing think tank, how, you know, everybody is a left-wing think tank. It's all, you know, the besieged conservative mentality that actually many people who listen to right-wing talk radio believe. Respond to that myth as well as telling us about what's happening next week.
I think the question of whether the media is conservative or liberal, I think, is most accurate. The contrast is most accurately portrayed when you think about what is covered and what is not covered, specifically on economic issues. The best example of this is you've got you know, scores of television shows, hundreds of articles in newspapers, shows on radio, all about, for instance, a business. The business shows primarily cover profits for shareholders, CEOs, executives, that kind of thing. There is barely a mention of how those business practices, those profits, and those executives' decisions affect the average worker. So,
and there's never any mention of labor unions or what the labor movement is doing or all the strikes that are going on. I mean, it's just, it's like it's a void.
Business Watch, you know, there's Money Line, but there's not Labor Watch or Labor Line. So to me, that's the clearest example of what we're talking about when we talk about the conservative media. And when people say it's the liberal media, you know, you kind of have to shake your head and say, you know, am I watching the same thing? Because essentially what you've got now is a media system in the United States which is established in basically to protect, defend, and shill for a large corporate power structure. And, you know, it's our goal, part of our goal at the center, is to try to refocus the media on more serious economic issues and on a more legitimate progressive agenda, which we're trying to push.
Yeah. And, David, before we get to the convention next week, there are a lot of folks on the left, a lot of progressives and kind of old-fashioned liberals and greens and Democrats who consider themselves the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party, to quote Howard Dean quoting Paul Wellstone, who are concerned about the rise of corporate influence within the Democratic Party and see the Democratic Leadership Council and its ilk as being a potentially negative influence on the Democratic Party, turning it into Republican light. Are you guys getting involved in those turf wars that are going on within the party and within the movement on the from the center to the left?
Well, the place that we hope to fill is not in arguing amongst the Democratic Party. There are groups that are out there that do that. Our goal is to refocus progressive politics as a whole on a meaningful, realistic, and cogent agenda. And I know that we're not looking to pick fights within the parties. We're actually not even looking to pick fights with the Republican Party. Again, for us, it's about principles and a progressive agenda. And I think that, let's be honest. There are things you can look out there in Congress right now and amongst the parties that are good ideas. Republicans, moderate Democrats, progressive Democrats, and the like. I'll give you a great one. Prescription drug reimportation. Here's an idea that you get free market, free trade conservatives working with who believe in less regulation, working with progressives who want to see lower price prescription drugs. That's the kind of issue that is sort of perfectly synthesizes where progressives can reach out to unconventional places to push a progressive agenda. And I think that's the kind of thing that we are looking to push, new ideas like that. There's a tax plan that we're working on that many folks might have read about in the New York Times Magazine. There was a piece on us a couple weeks ago that would seek to reshape the entire debate on taxes. You know, the question is, on taxes, for instance, why are there so many tax write-offs? Why do we pay so much less in capital gains tax than we do in regular income tax? What would happen, for instance, if we simply taxed everyone's income on a progressive tax structure but didn't make exceptions for different pieces of income? What you see is a tax system that taxed wealth rather than work. These are the kinds of things that we're exploring and that we hope to formulate in the coming months.
Well, that's great. David, we're out of time here. I'll let folks know about the conference. I wanted to thank you very much for being on the program today. I'm so grateful, and thank you very much.
Tom, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. David Sirota of the Center for American Progress. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
get over to your Toyota dealer and get this feeling. The feeling of winning a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. Toyota's giving away 12 of them, plus 1,000 more worth $100 each. Just bring your Toyota into your participating Toyota dealer for service and enter. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends October 31st. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents who are valid licensed drivers and 18 or older. Void in Hawaii. Official rules available at Toyota.com/owners.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiotis. Or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Cooler Wars with Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We were just talking with David Sirota of the Center for American Progress, and the Center for American Progress is holding a conference in Washington, D.C., Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. I'll be broadcasting live from the conference.
You can find out all about it at their website, www.americanprogress.org. And it looks like it's going to be a great show, and you'll be hearing all about it next week and certainly more about the center. And we're going to have a number of their people affiliated with them or guests of theirs on as guests on this program on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. So stay tuned. Stick around for that. And now one of our regular features. For those of you who don't know, that's the official national anthem of Italy. It is time for a Berlusconi alert! Yes, indeed, folks. Silvio Berlusconi, that extraordinary man who started out as a petty criminal, a small businessman associated with the mob, worked his way up to buying out several radio stations and then bought a television station and then ended up buying a network and then bought another network and then built a network and then bought another network and ended up owning over 90% of the media in Italy. Yes, indeed. All the radio stations, all the television stations except the ones owned by the government itself, their equivalent of NPR, are owned by Silvio Berlusconi, and once he had all the media, he ran for office, he and his party, and he's now the prime minister. Well, usually my Berlusconi alerts are about his putting his foot in his mouth, calling a German member of parliament a guard in a Nazi concentration camp, or snapping at people about how they don't have any right to question him, because after all, he's the prime minister of Italy. But today, he was actually praised. This from the Guardian of London. And I still, you know, even though it's something maybe good about Berlusconi, it's so important for us to remember what can happen when the media comes under the control of one person. Berlusconi praised for remarks on immigrants, according to The Guardian. Berlusconi expressed his great sorrow and grief at the horror of the recent tragedy in the Mediterranean. On Sunday, The Guardian says 13 corpses were discovered heaped on a boat drifting off Italy. 15 Somalis who survived said they had dumped overboard the bodies of 50 other people who had died of cold and hunger during a nightmarish two-week voyage from Libya. See, they have, in southern Europe, they have a problem with immigrants coming up from northern Africa the same way that the southwestern United States has with folks coming in from Mexico, that being that these people will risk their lives every single day. People die trying to make it in. And Berlusconi said, "We need to think very carefully about how this civilized and Christian Europe, this Europe of prosperity, can open up to welcome those who come here with a desire to seek a better future for themselves and their children." And even Martin Schulz, the German member of parliament who Berlusconi had compared to a Nazi concentration camp guard just a month or so ago, praised him for his thoughtful remarks. So our Berlusconi alert for the day. Another. This is interesting. This was in the Burlington Free Press this morning, and then we'll get into some of the hard news and what's actually going on in the world here. The Burlington Free Press, the most appropriate symbol of the United States. I think this is great. People have been looking for, you know, with the Schwarzenegger thing, what's his name? Gary Trudeau with Doonesbury has now called him Herr Gruppenführer. Gruppenführer. And, you know, but what do you call Bush? Well, the Burlington Free Press suggests we should call him Wimpy, after the Popeye character who said, "I would gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today," because he's borrowing all his money for his tax cuts. "I would gladly pay you Tuesday for money for my rich friends today." And that's exactly what it is. It's Wimpy. George W. Bush is Wimpy from the cartoon strip Popeye. A great editorial in today's Burlington Free Press. Anyhow, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, exposing the con and conservative. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. A shortage of oxygen could lead to a shortage of offspring for fish that live in polluted water. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Some forms of water pollution rob the water of oxygen. That's hard on fish, and sometimes the shortage of oxygen will kill the fish outright. In other cases, the fish might survive, but the stress they endure could wipe them out over the course of generations. A new study reports that low oxygen can put so much stress on fish that they have problems reproducing. The research was published earlier this year in the journal Environmental Science and Technology. One of the authors is Rudolph Wu, a biologist at the City University of Hong Kong. Wu studied two groups of carp in a laboratory setting. One group was exposed to low oxygen for up to 12 weeks. Their reproductive success was 90% lower than the group raised under normal conditions. Wu says oxygen depletion lowered the fertility of the fish by affecting their endocrine systems. The technical term for this shortage of oxygen is hypoxia. Wu says hypoxia is a growing problem in aquatic environments around the world.
And this has a huge impact on the fish. And so there's a very good reason to believe under hypoxia, all this population will decrease tremendously. And in fact, that's happening in a lot of aquatic systems over the world.
Oxygen depletion is often a consequence of water pollution by fertilizer and other organic waste. Wu says the low oxygen levels he used in his experiments were similar to conditions in some waters that have suffered this kind of pollution. Wu is continuing his research with other species of freshwater and saltwater fish. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth in Broadcasting. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Hey, you know, at the end of the show today, in another 2.5 hours... is going to be that giant solar flare is going to run smack into planet Earth. And this program is distributed to radio stations across the country via satellite. I do what I do here in Vermont in our studio in Athenwood, and we beam that signal over a special digital telephone line to Detroit. They mix it there where Steph is running the board and making everything happen, and Bill is tweaking the satellite stuff, and they beam it up to the ABC Starguide 3 satellite way up in outer space, and then that satellite beams it down to radio stations. Also, of course, the Sirius satellite receiver listeners are listening to it on satellite. And there are some who are speculating that solar flare, which is going to happen around 3 o'clock, may be enough to blow some of these satellites off the air for a little bit. It's going to be real interesting. Apparently, we haven't had a burst of radiation like this in millennia, in thousands of years. So we have no idea what it's going to do. It's going to be, and it's going to make beautiful northern lights tonight for those of you who are in the relatively northern parts of the world. You know, one of the reasons why I think it's so important to acknowledge people like David Sirota and the Center for American Progress is because the core concept of democracy requires
an adversarial debate, and that there be adversarial discussion. This is a concept that is so often completely misunderstood, particularly by the conservatives in our society. They look for consensus. Everybody, you know, Ronald Reagan's "Thou shalt not speak ill of another Republican," the 11th commandment. And increasingly they're trying to get the entire nation, you know, singing with the same voice. And Jefferson was so clear about, and not just him, I mean, he was one of the most articulate about it, but Alexis de Tocqueville, John Adams, Tom Paine, you just look right through the list of people who were there from the beginning, through James Madison, through the John Jay, Tench Coxe, the folks who participated in the American Revolution and in putting together the Constitution and creating this nation. They were just so absolutely clear in their minds that democracy would not survive if there was not a strong argument going on all the time. You say, what? That doesn't sound civil. No, but that's how it works. That's why the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law abridging freedom of the press. It's why when John Adams in 1798 passed the Alien and Sedition Acts, the first USA Patriot Act, that banned people from speaking against him as president, so that when he had become very fond of pomp and circumstance. He had a carriage that was drawn by six horses, and you know, it was like he was like royalty. He had reinvented himself as royalty while he was president of the United States, John Adams. It really went over the edge. And he's riding down the street. I don't have the note in front. I actually wrote an article about this for commondreams.org, and I don't have it in front of me, so I don't remember the city. It seems that it was in Delaware, but anyway, wherever it was, he was driving down the street, and they had the cannon. They fired the cannons, and the soldiers out along the streetway shouted, "Hail to John Adams! Long live the President of the United States!" Which he had required them to do. These are all things, by the way, that Jefferson did away with when he came into office in 1800. And there was a guy sitting in a bar. Now, as I tell you this story, just think about what would happen today if somebody was sitting in a bar and loudly made a threat against the President of the United States. There was a guy sitting in a bar, and he said, and he was drunk. And he said, "Oh, they're firing the cannons. I don't care if they fire them right at Adams. They might even fire one at his arse." And the bar owner immediately ran out, grabbed the military, and said, "This man has spoken against the president." And he was dragged off and thrown into jail. In addition, 17 editors of newspapers were put into jail. And Matthew Lyons, who was the congressman from Vermont, was put into jail for speaking on the floor of the House of Representatives against John Adams. He ran for re-election from his jail cell in Vergennes, Vermont, and won. All of these, and this is one of the main things that caused Jefferson, that caused Adams to lose the election of 1800 and made Thomas Jefferson president. Because the people were just, whoa, this is not democracy. Democracy requires that we be having a debate, that we be having an argument. It's one of the reasons I love it when people who disagree with me call the show. I love it when those of you who agree with me call in also. It's always great to hear from folks. In fact, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. But in particular, hearing both sides. So what we have now in the United States, as David so eloquently pointed out, is a situation where on the evening news, you don't see the labor report. You don't hear labor talked about as part of the summary in the little five-minute news clips that you get from the networks on the radio news. They'll tell you about corporations and how they're doing. Well, the Dow is at 9,712 right now. It's up 3 points or whatever. Entire programs devoted to business. Well, what do you think about this corporation? What do you think about that corporation? It looks like this guy's doing a good job. Maybe I should invest here. Is anybody running programs that talk about Well, did you know that this union is there's an entire movement actually in the United States of labor unions, of in one union in particular, and I forget their acronym. I don't have the note in front of me. That is working to unionize or hold the unionization of people working in supermarkets across the country. And the biggest challenge to this right now is Walmart. Walmart is working aggressively against unionization. We see now, 300 arrests last night in Walmarts across the country because they're through their subcontractors, putting illegal immigrants to work in Walmart stores. I mean, you got to get it at some point. Wake up and say, wow, the whole agenda of the conservative movement, the bottom line of the conservative movement, what they're about, their new idea is cheap labor. And not just cheap labor. Make the labor cheaper and cheaper, destroy the labor unions, create an environment that is hostile to them, marginalize them, take them out of the public discourse. And on top of that, let's allow people who earn their living by sitting on their butts waiting for their dividend checks to come in the mail to be taxed at only a 15% rate. This was passed into law with the president's last tax bill, you'll recall. The dividend tax cut. The tax cut for the rich. $696,000 per person on average for the top 1% of Americans. And so on the one hand, they're saying, okay, we're going to reduce the taxes on the wealthiest, so they only pay 15% tax. And they don't have to pay a payroll tax. In fact, anybody making over $87,000 a year doesn't pay a payroll tax on anything over that first $87,000. I think it's $87,100 or something like that. A little less than $88,000 a year. After $88,000 a year, there's no payroll tax. So we have a tax system that anybody making less than $88,000 a year is fully paying into, and anybody making more than $88,000 a year doesn't pay a penny into after that $88,000 has been taxed. And if their income comes from dividend checks, it's only 15% tax and no payroll tax. And on the other hand, if you want to work in a factory or if you want to work in a 7-Eleven or if you want to work at McDonald's or if you want to, no matter what you want to do, if you have a blue-collar job or a white-collar job, if you're part of the middle class of America or part of the working poor, which is increasing in size every day as the middle class shrinks, you are going to pay that payroll tax, and you are going to pay income taxes. And if your income is so low that you don't have to pay income taxes, you're still going to pay the payroll tax, even though the cons say, oh, those people don't pay taxes. Lies! They don't pay an income tax. They're paying a payroll tax. And about 100% of their income, when they spend it, gets taxed again. Because they're spending all of their money to stay alive. They're spending all their money on housing and food and clothing and driving to the to work. And all of those things, there's a gasoline tax, there's a sales tax, there's a property taxes. All of those things are taxed. So we don't just have double taxation for the middle class and the working poor. It's like, every way they turn.
Oh, but they don't pay an income tax because they only make $20,000 a year.
But every penny they earn is taxed. Whereas if somebody's earning $1 million a year, I mean, you know how hard it is to spend $1 million in a year? Or $10 million? Or $50 million? Or $100 million? I mean, as it goes up, it gets harder and harder to spend. And so instead of spending it on things that might cause you to have to pay a sales tax, these folks invest it. Oh, if they invest their money, it'll create, they will create jobs for everybody. The one of the favorite conservative bumper sticker slogans is, I never saw a poor person create a job. Lie. It's an absolute lie. First of all, jobs are not created by businesses. Jobs are created by consumer demand, which is met by businesses. So if the government becomes the employer of last resort, if we took all these unemployed people in America and said, okay, we're going to build bridges with you guys, they would then have cash, which they would spend, which would create demand. This is where the Lafler curve, I mean, the basic premise of it is something that FDR knew. It's just that what they've done, what the cons have done, is they've flipped it on its head. If the government employs people who are out of work and says, great, we're going to put you to work. Here, you know, this city needs a park. This town needs a new school built. And look at what they did with the WPA. And those people get paychecks, good paychecks. And they spend that money. They're spending that money is going to create demand for more stuff, more goods and services. And businesses, particularly small businesses, will step in and say, great, we'll satisfy that demand. That's how jobs are created. Not by giving tax cuts to the rich. You give tax cuts to the rich. Yeah, a good friend of mine who's got a lot of cash stashed away in investments a couple of months ago called me up and said, I got to tell you about this thing. There is a deal up in Canada. There's a corporation up in Canada that has bought up oil rights across much of Canada, particularly the oil that's trapped in sand that has a gasification process to remove it. And he said, this company consistently pays 17% annual dividends, as high as 17%. He said, it's always more than 10%. This year it was 17%. And he said, you really ought to invest in this company if you have money to invest, because you'll make a 17% return on your investment, which is incredible, and it's only taxed at the 15% rate because it's dividend income. Now, this isn't even an American company. It's traded on the New York Stock Exchange, but it's a Canadian company. So the wealthy are taking their tax cuts, and they're buying Canadian companies, and they're investing in China. Whereas if the working folks of America were given, we gave them $300, and that will create some stimulus. It has. But come on. I mean, how much stimulus is that going to make? So that gives a lie, number one, to that. And the other thing is the idea that only rich people can own or run businesses to create jobs. I started my first business when I was working. I was working half the day. I was working about 6 hours a day at a radio station in Lansing, Michigan. I was working 4 hours a day in a health food store, and I was saving my money. And we started it. Louise and I started a business, and my business partner started a business. And in our bedroom, I mean, we had the office in our bedroom, and then it moved out to our living room. And within 2 years, we had 18 employees. We started that company on about $500, and that was our life savings. And since that time, we've started 7 businesses, and we've created a lot of jobs, and they're still there. Most of those businesses still exist. They've generated in aggregate over $250 million in over the years. I most of it didn't stick to my fingers, but it's out there. So when they say only rich people create jobs, it's absolute bunk. Small companies create jobs more aggressively, and they're better jobs than large companies. Large companies right now are shedding jobs. Which brings me back to my original point, and that is that for a democracy to retain its vitality, there must be opposing voices. And we haven't had opposing voices in the United States over the last decade or so, basically since Reagan. I mean, when he declared war on labor by firing the air traffic controllers and breaking their union, that was the beginning of an incredibly destructive and insidious process, destructive to democracy, that has led up to the situation that we have today. And this network, the IE America Radio Network, And this program and the other programs on this network, Mike Malloy and the other folks who are programming on this network, we are part of the alternative voice. And the importance of that is that without that, you don't have democracy. You have autocracy. You have one-party rule. It is so vital. And this is one of the things that the Center for American Progress is doing as well, is they are feeding democracy by feeding the debate. It is so essential. I encourage you to check out their website. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the pill that will help you escape the matrix. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel relief fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the speed of life.
Toyota owners, get over to your Toyota dealer and get this feeling. The feeling of winning a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. Toyota's giving away 12 of them, plus 1,000 more worth $100 each. Just bring your Toyota into your participating Toyota dealer for service and enter. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends October 31st. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents who are valid licensed drivers and 18 or older. Void in Hawaii. Official rules available at toyota.com/owners.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Animal?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah!
Wow.
Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You're back in the Truth Zone with Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome back. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Mike in Powder Springs, Georgia wants to disagree with me. Mike, what's up?
Not a whole lot. One thing that we do agree on, we'll start that off on a good note on today, on Friday,
okay. Is
that with debate, it is exactly what makes this country great. And even though I may disagree with you on just about 99% of your platform, I wholeheartedly support your viewpoints, because without that voice of dissent, America would not be the free place that it is today.
Well, I'm glad you hold that position, Mike. It's one that unfortunately many of your compatriots don't.
I would have to disagree with you on that. That's
here we go.
Of the course, but you've got it. For conservatives like me, to me, the ultimate responsibility in this country is to be free. That means to be free to do whatever I choose to do, not only with my money, but within my life. But society sets certain rules and standards called laws that we must adhere to. That's part of being within society. That doesn't mean that because we have these rules and everything that we are beholden to take care of every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there because they choose to make poor decisions with their life. That's a fundamental difference that conservatives has with our left-wing brethren out there. Your point that government is the creator of jobs, I'm sorry.
No, I didn't say that. I said
you said if for a jobs program to take place, let's say a government, which I'll refer to that as the taxpayer say, hey, go ahead and create a bridge, therefore that creates a need for bridge builders.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. And you have to have a demand for a product out there. And again, you say you were a businessman. You had seven businesses. What product did you start?
Two of them are still in Atlanta and still operating, Mike. And let me just make my point real quickly here, because we only have a minute or so. What I was saying was that in an economic downturn like we're having right now, where we've got hundreds of thousands of unemployed people and business is not able to meet their needs, if you gave those people a job, you, the government, we, the government, if we gave them a job, they would have a paycheck. And by spending their paychecks, they would generate more demand, and that would produce the need for businesses like the ones that I started and like what you do to step in and take care of it. Mike, thanks for the call. We're out of time here. We've run up against the edge. Call back again. We'll carry it on. Truth and Common Sense in Broadcasting. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. House and Senate negotiators said on Wednesday that they had agreed on the structure of a prescription drug benefit to be offered to 40 million elderly and disabled people in the biggest expansion of Medicare to date. The tentative agreement signaled new momentum for the Medicare bill, with Republicans voicing optimism that they would soon complete work on the measure, their highest domestic legislative priority. Federal agents raided Walmart's headquarters and 60 of its stores across the country Thursday, arresting more than 300 illegal workers in an immigration crackdown at the world's largest retailer. The workers were members of cleaning crews hired by outside contractors, but federal law enforcement officials said Walmart had direct knowledge of the immigration violations. They cited recordings of meetings and conversations among Walmart executives, managers, and contractors. The FBI has interviewed more than 36 Bush administration officials, including political advisor Karl Rove and press secretary Scott McClellan, in its investigation into the leak of an undercover CIA officer's identity. The interviews have extended beyond the White House into other government agencies. The Defense and State Departments and the CIA itself are also part of the probe. The focus, however, remains on the White House, two law enforcement officials said, on condition of anonymity. While the initial interviews have yielded no major breaks, the FBI is satisfied that they are making major progress and have not encountered any stalling tactics. So far, no grand jury subpoenas have been issued, they said. Two Green Party senators who heckled President Bush during his speech before Australia's parliament were barred from the chamber Friday during an address by China's president. Anti-war legislators Bob Brown and Curry Nettle interrupted Bush three times Thursday protesting the war. They were ordered out but refused to leave. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
General Motors Corporation will rename its Buick LaCrosse in Canada because the name for the car is slang for masturbation in Quebec, an embarrassed spokesman for the automaker said Thursday. GM officials said it had been unaware that LaCrosse was a term for self-gratification among teenagers in French-speaking Quebec, but in focus groups in Quebec, young participants giggled when they heard the name of the new car. Reports that driving the LaCrosse could cause blindness could not be verified. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York. Enjoy your weekend.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
I've had it with this cold.
So try DayQuil. It'll help take care of your cold symptoms so you can get your energy back.
You think?
Oh, honey, you'll feel so good you can spend the day puttering in the garage.
The garage.
Clearing out lots of room for my car.
DayQuil.
The non-drowsy, stuffy head, sore throat, coughing, aching, fever help get back your energy. Medicine. Use as directed. And now it lasts 50% longer.
What if the White House and Congress were to do something sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone? Instead of, well, you know, the opposite of all of the above, as they've been doing. Here's one big idea that would definitely be a plus for our people and for future generations. Launch a 10-year, $300 billion crash program to provide energy independence for America. This would be a nationwide effort involving millions of us grassroots people to develop, build, and run a high-speed rail network, a distribution system for hydrogen-powered cars, energy-efficient buildings and appliances, solar and wind power systems, and other means to kick our nation's costly oil addiction. It's called the Apollo Project, and it's a proposal that has been put together by 10 unions, including the steel workers, auto workers, mine workers, service employees, machinists, and electrical workers. Among other good results, their bold plan can restore America's manufacturing jobs, link blue-collar America with the environmental movement, eliminate the need for more oil wars, build a sound energy infrastructure for the future, spur a national construction boom, stimulate the economy from the ground up, excite and unite workaday Americans in a shared mission, and provide a positive model for the rest of the world. Now that's sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone. Oh, fruitle doodle, cried the naysayers in the White House, Congress, and oil corporations. Where are you going to get $300 billion to finance this? I say we should get it from where it went. Washington just doled out $350 billion from our public treasury to enrich elites who are already super rich. Let's put $300 billion of that back in the treasury to finance this Apollo program for the good of all, instead of watching the privileged stick it in foreign bank accounts or buy more mansions in France. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the Apollo proposal for yourself, check out ApolloAlliance.org.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, friends. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live on the IE America Radio Network on radio stations from coast to coast, broadcasting also on the Internet from radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com with archives at White Rose Society. You can find all that off tomhartman.com if you would like. And also beaming down from the depths of outer space from the Sirius satellite radio system, Stream 145. Sirius, the now standard equipment on Ford and Chrysler products, Toyota, Volvo, Jeep, Volkswagen, Jaguar, as a whole long list. Anyway, welcome back. We have, there's just so much. There is so much today that I want to get into. And one of the, at the very top, is this concept. Oh, just a quick news thing here, by the way. Hopeful House in our chat room, our online chat room, which you can also get to from tomhartman.com, says Reuters just reported two more U.S. soldiers were killed in a mortar attack near the Iraqi town of Samarra today, a U.S. Military spokeswoman said. And Bush lied, two more soldiers died. Tragedy. Anyhow, the corporations are bribing our president and our legislators. I mean, it used to be called bribery back before the 1886 Supreme Court decision that granted, it wasn't even a decision, but that's a whole other discussion, but that granted corporate personhood rights under the Bill of Rights to corporations. And you know, it's gotten worse and worse over the years with these various Supreme Court rulings on this. And now they, particularly Boston versus Bilotti, 1978, corporations have the First Amendment rights of free speech, and money equals speech, and they give cash to politicians. But I don't, and it's pretty obvious that so much of this president's agenda, the Clear Skies Initiative, for example, that would dump, you know, tons, millions of tons of additional toxic matter into our air and benefit the largest and dirtiest of our corporate polluters, and on it goes. I mean, you can almost pick any part of the Bush agenda. You look at education, Left No Child Left Behind Act. It really should be called Test Every Child and Buy the Tests at at inflated prices from the corporate cronies of the administration. Because the No Child Left Behind Act, while it's creating an enormous burden for local school districts, has produced almost $1 billion in revenue for two or three very large testing corporations. Those were the folks who really pushed that thing. And it just, I mean, you just pick a topic and you find corporations behind it in the administration. Everybody realizes our president and many, if not most, of our legislators are in the pockets of corporate interests in the United States. But did you know that corporations such as Home Depot, Walmart, and insurance giant AIG have spent more than $100 million on front groups to transform the judiciary in the United States, the third branch of government? This is a scandal, and this strikes at the heart of democracy. One of the real experts on this is Michael Schur, the Washington correspondent for Mother Jones Magazine, one of the hardest-hitting investigative journalists in Washington, D.C. He's constantly breaking stories on the corporatization of the government, and we're very, very pleased to have Michael on the program today. Michael, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Oh, I'm very pleased. You point out in your article that Bill Pryor, Alabama's attorney general and nominee for the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, told a business group, the business community must be engaged heavily in the election process as it affects legal and judicial offices. They created a Republican Attorney General's Association that was meant to skirt the campaign finance laws and so that corporations could send anonymous, unlimited anonymous checks to support him, Pryor, and other conservative AGs. Leaked documents show that he knew all along he was receiving money from the same companies that he refused to prosecute. Raga is so corrupt that the Ohio Attorney General, Betty Montgomery, pulled out of the organization. Tell us a little bit about this organization and this, you know, and what Bill Pryor's up to.
Well, first, a little bit of context. Since the mid-90s, and actually a lot of the early work in this was done by Karl Rove in Texas in the late 80s, in fact. Karl Rove is the advisor to President Bush in the White House, political advisor.
Karl Rove, what a surprise!
He realized in the late 80s that legal reform was the term, but basically finding ways to curtail very costly tort lawsuits against corporations, energy interests, insurance companies, was a politically potent issue. It was a way to raise a lot of campaign money from very powerful groups and a way to get his people elected. And a number of states in the U.S., it's not uniform across the country, but a number of states in the U.S. have open, competitive, partisan elections for their judicial offices, especially for their top judicial offices. So the Texas Supreme Court, which for a long time was being funded mainly by trial lawyer groups, and people within the bar, the elections were, Karl Rove realized in the late 80s that, look, you could go into these state elections and raise money from the interests who are being hurt by these lawsuits and change the court, change the makeup of the court, and therefore change the law. And he was very successful. Right now you have what was once a Democratic court in Texas is a fully Republican court. And the way Texas law approaches things like class action liability cases has changed dramatically in recent years. So when Bill Pryor in the late 90s comes into the picture, he's the Attorney General of Alabama, he's playing the same game. He was in Alabama at a time when attorneys generals across the country were joining up in big lawsuits against the tobacco giants, Philip Morris, R.J. Reynolds, for the harm they'd done by misrepresenting the effects of smoking on health. And he basically went to the corporate community and said, look, you have all these people out there teaming up on you. The President Clinton is teaming up on you. Democrats are teaming up on you. Lawsuits in which you're suing someone for money because someone got hurt somehow. And the point of these reforms is to make it more difficult. The corporate community has argued for a number of years that the system is out of hand and that consumers, smokers should not be able to go back to Philip Morris, for an example, And sue them for their health problems because they were, because Phil Morris, you know, many years ago was saying smoking isn't really bad for you, so don't worry about it. So that's what's going on. I mean, you can debate the word reform. The point is it's a dramatic change. I mean, it is sort of a revolution in the way we have been doing things. I mean, there's a dramatic shift taking place on the state and if the president and Republicans are successful on the federal level as well.
This is absolutely mind-boggling. And reform, of course, is a word that most people think of in positive terms. And you have to realize that when when the Republicans use the word, and many Democrats, for that matter, use the word reform, more often than not, what they mean is reform into something that is beneficial to large corporate campaign donors and is going to harm or eliminate the ability to recover from harms, the individual citizen. We're talking with Michael Schurer, Washington correspondent for Mother Jones Magazine. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, and it's 17 minutes after the hour. Michael, which of Bush's court nominees have large corporate patrons to thank for their careers?
Well, Bill Pryor is an obvious one. Like you said, he started a group called the Republican Attorneys General's Association several years ago, which was founded to collect large, unlimited checks, soft money checks that couldn't be traced back to the companies for attorney general's campaigns. 100,000 of that went to his most recent campaign in Alabama. And in exchange, the people who donated, companies like AT&T, Philip Morris, I mean, big corporations.
Without a trace of psoriasis.
Complete freedom. Brought to you by the complete relief of Dermarest psoriasis. Unlike brands which only relieve itching and inflammation, Dermarest psoriasis also removes the embarrassing scales, allowing healthy skin to grow.
Healthy skin? That's complete freedom.
Dermarest, the psoriasis solution.
Nothing complements a ball game like a bag of roasted peanuts. I like to eat them 3-4 at a time, and I'm talking the jumbo ones, lightly salted and fresh from the shell.
Ah, peanuts, baseball, and the crack of my tooth!
Don't let toothaches interfere with your life. When you can't get to the dentist, get Maximum Strength Ambisol. It contains the same strong pain relief medicine your dentist uses, so it works faster than you can say, ah. Maximum Strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone. Use as directed.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
What if the White House and Congress were to do something sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone, instead of, well, you know, the opposite of all of the above, as they've been doing? Here's one big idea that would definitely be a plus for our people and for future generations. Launch a 10-year, $300 billion crash program to provide energy independence for America. This would be a nationwide effort involving millions of us grassroots people to develop, build, and run a high-speed rail network, a distribution system for hydrogen-powered cars, energy-efficient buildings and appliances, solar and wind power systems, and other means to kick our nation's costly oil addiction. It's called the Apollo Project, and it's a proposal that has been put together by 10 unions, including the steel workers, auto workers, mine workers, service employees, machinists, and electrical workers. Among other good results, their bold plan can restore America's manufacturing jobs, link blue-collar America with the environmental movement, eliminate the need for more oil wars, build a sound energy infrastructure for the future, spur a national construction boom, stimulate the economy from the ground up, excite and unite workaday Americans in a shared mission, and provide a positive model for the rest of the world. Now that's sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone. Oh, frugal doodle, cry the naysayers in the White House, Congress, and oil corporations. Where are you going to get $300 billion to finance this? I say we should get it from where it went. Washington just doled out $350 billion from our public treasury to enrich elites who are already super rich. Let's put $300 billion of that back in the treasury to finance this Apollo program for the good of all, instead of watching the privileged stick it in foreign bank accounts or buy more mansions in France. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the Apollo proposal for yourself, check out ApolloAlliance.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A wrench has been thrown into my machinery. Now the world is not as it seemed. A tear has been made in the fabric of what I thought was reality. Now I can't call an apple a fruit with any confidence. And I can't call a tiger a cat. Because you can't call George Bush a moron. Apparently there's something wrong with that. Evidently he's highly educationalized. He's sharp as a hammer, a nail. He's not to be misunderestimated. Since he's been to Hartford and Yale. Now I realize the comment may have been slightly rude, but can't we clear up this misunderstanding? Did Ms. Ducrow really have to resign from her job? How will she put food on her family?
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman, Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Michael Shurer, the Washington correspondent for Mother Jones magazine, and a remarkable investigative reporter here. Michael, we recently covered on this program the topic of whistleblowers. In fact, I think it was Tuesday of this week, and how the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled against whistleblowers in 83 out of 84 cases. There's all this attention on the Supreme Court, but the Federal Circuit Court is really where most of this stuff happens. 99% of corporate regulatory cases don't make it to the Supreme Court. They're resolved in circuit courts. Why is it that nobody is noticing this, that the press isn't paying attention to it? Is it because circuit courts just aren't that sexy or, you know, whatever? And number two, do you see the fact that 83 out of 84 recent whistleblower cases being decided against the whistleblowers at the circuit court level is due to the corporatization of the judiciary? Or do you think that this is just old-fashioned judicial imperialism?
I'm not sure I can answer the second one just because I'm not familiar with the legal arguments. I mean, often in legal cases, one side or another will toss out sort of the accusation that this is all political. And in truth, sometimes it is. Usually it has to do with the bigger judicial philosophy, the way the judge approaches the role of government, what government should be, the role of the Constitution, and how they interpret the Constitution. That's what matters in the end, not the sort of specific interests at play. But as to the first part, that people aren't paying attention to the circuit courts, I think that is a real issue. I mean, I talked to Democratic staff and senators who told me that, you know, these are issues that are really hard to get out, to get anyone to really pay attention to. And I think Republicans have had the same problem. I mean, it's tough to explain a lot of these complicated regulatory legal arguments. You know, should there be mountaintop mining in West Virginia? I mean, things like that. Where it's hard to get out the message. And what happens, and this is another part of my article, one of the points I was trying to make, is what happens is politicians and the press usually end up turning, because they're faced with these very complicated economic issues, end up turning to the social issues and focus instead on those. So they'll focus on affirmative action, abortion, gay rights. I mean, the things that everyone knows about, everyone understands, everyone has a clear opinion on.
Well, and in fact, don't you think that the corporations encourage that, particularly the corporations that own our media, because that works to their benefit? Michael, we have Kay in Santa Fe on the line. We've only got a couple of minutes left here in the segment. I'd like to get her question in. Kay, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Thank you for calling 1-800-TALK. Yes.
Yes. There's a book by Grider called The Soul of Capitalism, which really confirms everything you've been saying, that the corporations have got the local governments just hogtied, because the corporations come in mouthing mother apple pie and jobs, and so the small communities just open their doors to them without realizing the social and community costs that the community is going to have to pick up and subsidize for
this
these
corporations.
This
is a huge,
huge issue, Kay, and thank you for the call and the comment on that. I appreciate that. William Greider is a brilliant writer, and he makes those points. Michael Shearer, last thoughts on this?
Well, I think people
about 10 seconds.
Yeah, pay attention to the issues that are being raised. I mean, the Republicans tried to pay Estrada, who's one of the other nominees, as a Hispanic issue. They're trying to paint right now Janice Rogers as a black woman issue. I mean, they're trying to play up the social issues. I think it's worth for all your listeners to sort of look behind and see who's supporting.
These are really corporate issues, yes. Michael Shearer, Washington correspondent for Mother Jones Magazine. Thank you, Michael, for joining us today. I appreciate it. Stay tuned. We'll be back. This is Tom Hartman.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A shortage of oxygen could lead to a shortage of offspring for fish that live in polluted water. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Some forms of water pollution rob the water of oxygen. That's hard on fish, and sometimes the shortage of oxygen will kill the fish outright. In other cases, the fish might survive, but the stress they endure could wipe them out over the course of generations. A new study reports that low oxygen can put so much stress on fish that they have problems reproducing. The research was published earlier this year in the journal Environmental Science and Technology. One of the authors is Rudolph Wu, a biologist at the City University of Hong Kong. Wu studied two groups of carp in a laboratory setting. One group was exposed to low oxygen for up to 12 weeks. The reproductive success was 90% lower than the group raised under normal conditions. Wu says oxygen depletion lowered the fertility of the fish by affecting their endocrine systems. The technical term for this shortage of oxygen is hypoxia. Wu says hypoxia is a growing problem in aquatic environments around the world.
And this has a huge impact on the fish. And so there's a very good reason to believe under hypoxia, all this population will decrease tremendously. And in fact, that's happening in a lot of aquatic systems over the world.
Oxygen depletion is often a consequence of water pollution by fertilizer and other organic waste. Wu says the low oxygen levels he used in his experiments were similar to conditions in some waters that have suffered this kind of pollution. Wu is continuing his research with other species of freshwater and saltwater fish. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network. The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
singing songs for everyone.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman exposing the con in conservative Orrin Hatch here. This, as Michael Shearer pointed out to us, all of these supposed right-wing candidates for the United States Supreme Court are in fact stalking horses, shills for corporate interests, increasingly right-wing, even though most of the listeners to right-wing talk radio don't realize it. Right-wing or conservative has come to mean in favor of corporations over humans. And Miguel Estrada is a good example, sponsored by the corporate right. And yet the Democrats, here's Orrin Hatch, for example, trying to say that Democrats don't like Estrada because he's Hispanic. If you can believe this, I mean, this is mind-boggling.
I decry the selective way that Miguel Estrada has been treated in comparison to all other nominees who have been brought to the floor.
Yeah, right. The administration, the Republicans had blocked so many of Clinton's nominations. More of Clinton's nominations were blocked by Democrats than Republicans than Democrats have blocked Bush's. And yet, at the federal court level, and yet the Republicans are squealing and calling racism and all this other kind of nonsense. It is just so sad to see such a lack of honesty and ethics in the political discourse in the United States. It's not, of course, limited to the Republicans. There are a number of Democrats who do these dances, who serve their interests before they serve truth and democracy. But it seems to have infected the Republican Party so badly that, for example, during the tax debates, when just two of their members, Olympia Snow and John Voinovich, dared to say, well, I don't think we should, reduce all these taxes unless we figured out how we can pay for it. So that they were called rhinos, Republican in name only, and subject to smear campaigns. This amongst the party that traditionally, pre-Reagan, had always fought for balanced budgets. Dwight Eisenhower worked hard to try to achieve balanced budgets. And of course, it goes all the way back. I mean, it was part of Barry Goldwater's platform. Anyhow, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. We're talking about the courts, although actually, it's a Friday. If you want to talk about anything, feel free to call. We're talking about the courts, and has corporatization even affected the judiciary? In other words, corporations are bribing our president and our legislators. Are they bribing our judges as well? It looks like it in this article in Mother Jones Magazine that's going to be coming out next month by Michael Shearer. Truly startling. Nick from New Jersey's on the line. Nick, thanks for calling. What's up?
Yeah, hi, Tom. I was listening to you here on the net and catching part of your conversation with Michael Shearer, and it brought to mind that he of course has more investigative powers than most of us, but a lot of this stuff is right out there if for folks who just want to do a little research. There's a website, BIPAC, BIPAC.org. It's the Business Industry Political Action Committee, been around since 1963, and right on their website it says, Electing Business to Congress. And these guys, is their whole point.
Whoa.
Is exactly.
I just typed it in. What's the four-letter word for clout? Clout gets elected to Congress. Get clout, elect business, electing business to Congress.
Right.
That's incredible. BIPAC.org.
.org, BIPAC.org. Here's a quote from the chairman of ExxonMobil. For decades, BIPAC, which is the website, has helped energize private sector involvement in the political process. We have learned much from you.
Incredible.
So it's right out there. I mean, we just have to find it. And they're not trying to hide it. That's their agenda. They want to get their people into positions of power.
Yeah, and most Americans, I think most Americans, first of all, just have a hard time even imagining that there are actually those among us, particularly those who claim to public service, like a federal judgeship, or like the elected officials who vote on the federal judgeships or appoint them, that there are those among us who would put the interests of a very small number of corporations, probably fewer than 1,000 or 2,000 corporations in the United States, that actually participate in this kind of subversion of democracy. It's really a small number of very large and powerful companies, and the trade groups that represent them as well. That there are people who say that they are involved in public service, and yet they are selling their souls to these special interests these corporate special interests in ways that everybody acknowledges are going to harm we the people, may well harm democracy, but it's going to enhance corporate profits. And they spin these elaborate stories about how, well, corporate profits are good because corporate profits will make more jobs. And, you know, well, yeah, actually, no. Corporate profits don't make jobs. If my corporation's profitable, I'm not going to expand my operations unless there's increased demand. What creates jobs is demand from the bottom up. If you give a lot of people union wages, you're going to have a strong middle class, and then you're going to have demand. Pardon my rant here. Anyway,
yeah, well, I can understand that. And this whole push behind privatization, what does privatization do? You're gonna create, again, a small elite group at the top. You know, let's say we privatize water, we privatize this, we privatize that. What are you doing? You're going to create a few people at the top making the mega bucks, and you know, their logic is that that's going to trickle down to the rest of us.
Yeah, yeah, it's incredible. Nick, thanks for pointing that out to us.
Right.
Very kind of you to call and let us know about the BIPAC.org horror story. Remarkable. So here we've got this situation where Bill Pryor, the Alabama's Attorney General and nominee for the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, he says to a business group, and I quote, "The business community must be engaged heavily in the election process as it affects legal and judicial offices," end quote. In other words, he's going out to big corporations and he's saying, back me and I'll be your judge. There are now leaked documents that show that he knew all along that the companies that he was refusing to prosecute as Attorney General for the state of Alabama were contributing money to him. I mean, this, if this is not bribery, it is the moral equivalent. He created the Republican Attorneys General Association, RAGA, which is so corrupt that the Ohio Attorney General pulled out of it. A Republican. Because this RAGA group was meant to skirt campaign finance laws. It was created so that corporations could send unlimited anonymous checks to support Pryor, Bill Pryor, and other conservative attorneys general. So Bush says, oh, this is a good guy. Let's nominate him to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. The next step down from the Supreme Court. The court in which the biggest corporate cases are going to be heard. And the Democrats say, no, we don't like this guy's background. He's in bed with corporations. He created the Republican Attorney General's Association. He's taking money from the very corporations on whose cases he's ruling. The Democrats say this. They say it out loud. But they're saying it in the halls of the House and Senate. It's not being picked up by the national media. I mean, you figure out why. Why is the liberal media ignoring this? But instead, so the Republicans decide to go on the counteroffensive. Okay, we got to change the topic as quickly as we can. And sex and religion. Sex, drugs, and religion, right? That is, they will always sell in the mass media. So what can we use to make it look like this is the reason why the Democrats are opposing Bill Pryor, so that we can confuse people and cause them to think that Bill Pryor is not being opposed because he's a sellout to corporate interests, because he has sold his soul to large polluting industries, because he's willing to work against the interests of we the people and against the interests of democracy in favor of the corporations that fund his Republican Attorney General's Association. We have to change the discussion. We got to do it quick. We got to change the subject. How do we do that? Well, let's see. What can we look at about Bill Pryor? And we can, you know, it worked well with Miguel Estrada when they found it, you know, when the Democrats started yelling about his being pro-corporate. All we had to do was say, hey, he's Hispanic. They must be racists. But Bill Pryor's not Hispanic. He's a white guy. So what can we say about him? Well, let's see. He's Catholic. That must be it. They hate him because he's Catholic. And not only is he Catholic, but he's an anti-abortion Catholic. So we're going to spin this whole thing in the context. So here we've got a radio advertisement get this, a radio advertisement. Corporate money being used to buy radio advertisements to say the following about Bill Pryor and his accusers.
But some in the U.S. Senate are attacking Bill Pryor for having deeply held Catholic beliefs to prevent him from becoming a federal judge. Don't they know the Constitution expressly prohibits religious tests for public office?
Don't they know also that the laws of the United States of America expressly prohibit shills for special interests from becoming, well, they, unfortunately, these days, when it comes to corporate special interests, the laws don't. So that's the ad that they're running. And then we get Richard Durbin saying, how can you do this? What are you talking about?
Mr. Chairman, first I want to express my gratitude to my colleagues who are members of the Church of Christ and the Methodist Church and the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints for explaining Catholic doctrine today.
See, they had a bunch of right-wing people from various other denominations talking about how Pryor was being persecuted because he was a good Catholic and opposed to abortion.
As a person who was raised Catholic and is a practicing Catholic, I deeply resent this new line of attack from the right wing that anyone who opposes William Pryor is guilty of discrimination against him because he is a Catholic.
Yeah, it's absolute, utter nonsense. It is the classic straw man argument that on the right they have to make so often, because when you look what's behind their arguments, is screw the middle class, give the money to big business, cut the taxes on the most wealthy in America, and laugh all the way to the bank. And that's exactly what William Pryor is all about, Bill Pryor is all about. So here's Richard Durbin one more time. He's pointing out to the Alabama Republican Jeff Sessions, who is, of course, an advocate of Pryor's. They're from the same state. They're both Republicans. That, you know, how could that Pryor isn't even consistent in his application of his Catholicism. That is not what this is about. For example,
the Catholic Church opposes the death penalty. Judge Pryor is in favor of it. I'm not going to ask Senator Sessions to make a judgment as a Methodist whether that makes him a good Catholic or not.
Right. So you see how incredibly distorted all this is. How incredibly distorted. And then we've got another judge, Janice Brown. Janice Brown is I believe she's black. She's a member of some minority group. I believe she's African American, and she is a shill for the right. And Arlen Specter is questioning her. Now, let me just set this up. Let me just read you something. The United States Constitution, Article 6, this is called the Supremacy Clause. And basically what it says is that if we have a law, if there's something in this United States Constitution, it cannot be overturned or usurped by a state government passing a law that contradicts what the United States Constitution says. In other words, the U.S. Constitution is supreme. It's the supreme law of the land. And you can't, at a state or local level, pass a law that violates the Constitution. It's called the Supremacy Clause. And here it is, Article 6, Section 2. This Constitution and the laws of the United States shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. You got it? That's the Supremacy Clause, the United States Constitution, which says that if the Constitution says this is how it is, a state can't pass a law that contradicts that. And so here we have Arlen Specter questioning Judge Janice Brown. This is the great judge. This is, of course, she's a stalking horse for the right wing and the corporate shills and the corporation, a shill for the corporations. But she's being put forth as a minority candidate for the appeals court. And as Arlen Specter asks her a question, and we discover that she doesn't even understand the Constitution.
Well, doesn't the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution mean that the equal protection of the 14th Amendment at Trump's California Proposition 209?
Doesn't the Supremacy Clause mean that?
Yes.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court has not said that.
Well, the state cannot have a constitutional provision which conflicts with a U.S. A constitutional provision, can it?
This is not an issue that I have looked at in detail.
Yeah, like the United States Constitution is an issue that she has not looked at in detail. You know, it's the quality of the people of all races and colors and ethnic backgrounds that the Republicans have been putting forward is frightening. Absolutely frightening. I mean, you can find competent, intelligent, wise, insightful, brilliant people of all races and religions all right across the spectrum. No problem. But the Republicans go out and they find those people who have sold their souls to corporate interests and bring them in and say, okay, we're going to make you a judge. And we're going to put you on the Supreme Court. Just be sure and rule our way, Clarence. We are witnessing the evisceration, the disemboweling of democracy in America at the hands of corporations, and it's time to stop. It's time to change it. It's time to take America back, and we can do that most effectively at the ballot box in November of 2004. This is Tom Hartman on the True People's Radio, the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Toyota owners, get over to your Toyota dealer and get this feeling. The feeling of winning a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. Toyota's giving away 12 of them, plus 1,000 more worth $100 each. Just bring your Toyota into your participating Toyota dealer for service and enter. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends October 31st. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents who are valid licensed drivers and 18 or older. Void in Hawaii. Official rules available at toyota.com/owners.
Why do I have to get this cold sore scab now? I've got a job interview this week.
The embarrassment of a cold sore scab is as painful as the sore itself. Do something about it. Try new Camphophonique cold sore treatment for scab relief. It's the only one that targets the scab with a special formula that provides maximum strength pain relief. Plus, it seals in moisture to help prevent cracking, to promote healing. Camphophonique stops pain, promotes healing, ends embarrassment.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her
right.
Boogieing?
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Jody in Arlington Heights, she said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine, and it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery, but that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, funny twist.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program, where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? Speaking of Walmart, a little burned today in their quest for the ultimate in cheap labor. Here, this from the New York Times this morning. I remember when I was watching the footage of George Bush looking at in Thailand, in Bangkok, looking at the Buddhist temples. And I remember the first time that I was in Thailand, which was almost 20 years ago, just walking around just in awe. I mean, if you ever want to travel outside the United States and really and truly have an extraordinary experience, go to Thailand and particularly go up into some of the little towns and visit the temples. It is incredible. And you're walking around going, this is a Buddhist nation. And it's like, I think for a lot of people who grew up in America who think that the entire world is made up of Christians with a few Jews scattered around and then there's those nasty Muslims. I mean, that's kind of the mindset of middle America, as it were, in a way. It really forces people outside their head. And I think he was finally, and that's why travel is such a good thing. It really broadens people. It allows them to. So anyhow, here is this story. After President Bush met with moderate Islamic leaders in Bali, he approached his staff with a puzzled look on his face. Quote, do they really believe we think all Muslims are terrorists? End quote, he asked. He was equally distressed, he told them, to hear that the United States was so pro-Israel that it was uninterested in the creation of a Palestinian state, despite his frequent declarations calling for exactly that. It was a revealing moment, precisely because the president was so surprised. This moment revealed a huge gulf between how the president views himself and how Asians view George W. Bush's America. And even some of Bush's aides concede that he has only begun to discover the gap between the picture of a benign superpower that he sees and the far more calculating, self-interested anti-Muslim America that the world perceives. These guys have gotten so good at spinning the truth that they're believing their own PR, and George Bush just confronted reality. It'll be interesting to see if it makes him a better person and a better leader. It's the same kind of thing with these judicial situations, where when Democrats put forth minorities who get passed over for positions, they get activist about those things. When Republicans do the same, they then start yelling at everybody as being racist. It's crazy. The situation. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The FBI has interviewed more than three dozen Bush administration officials, including political advisor Karl Rove and press secretary Scott McClellan, in its investigation into the leak of an undercover CIA officer's identity. The interviews have extended beyond the White House into other government agencies. The Defense and State Departments and the CIA itself are also part of the probe. The focus, however, remains on the White House, two law enforcement officials said, on condition of anonymity. While the initial interviews have yielded no major breaks, the FBI is satisfied that they are making major progress and have not encountered any stalling tactics. So far, no grand jury subpoenas have been issued, they said. House and Senate negotiators said on Wednesday that they had agreed on the structure of a prescription drug benefit to be offered to 40 million elderly and disabled people in the biggest expansion of Medicare to date. The tentative agreement signaled new momentum for the Medicare bill, with Republicans voicing optimism that they would soon complete work on the measure, their highest domestic legislative priority. Federal agents raided Walmart's headquarters and 60 of its stores across the country Thursday, arresting more than 300 illegal workers in an immigration crackdown at the world's largest retailer. The workers were members of cleaning crews hired by outside contractors, but federal law enforcement officials said Walmart had direct knowledge of the immigration violations. They cited recordings of meetings and conversations among Walmart executives, managers, and contractors. Two Green Party senators who heckled President Bush during his speech before Australia's parliament were barred from the chamber Friday during an address by China's president. Anti-war legislators Bob Brown and Curry Nettle interrupted Bush three times Thursday protesting the war. They were ordered out but refused to leave. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
From condoms to coffees, a tidal wave of trademark applications using shock and awe in their names is hitting the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. 7 months after the most overused cliche of the Iraq War entered the American jargon, a patent office official said on Thursday it had received shock and awe applications for golf clubs, pesticides, dietary supplements, video games, salsa, energy drinks, yo-yos, lingerie, Bloody Mary mix, and infant action crib toys. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
What if the White House and Congress were to do something sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone? Instead of, well, you know, the opposite of all of the above, as they've been doing. Here's one big idea that would definitely be a plus for our people and for future generations. Launch a 10-year, $300 billion crash program to provide energy independence for America. This would be a nationwide effort involving millions of us grassroots people to develop, build, and run a high-speed rail network, a distribution system for hydrogen-powered cars, energy-efficient buildings and appliances, solar and wind power systems, and other means to kick our nation's costly oil addiction. It's called the Apollo Project, and it's a proposal that has been put together by 10 unions, including the steel workers, auto workers, mine workers, service employees, machinists, and electrical workers. Among other good results, their bold plan can restore America's manufacturing jobs, link blue-collar America with the environmental movement, eliminate the need for more oil wars, build a sound energy infrastructure for the future, spur a national construction boom, stimulate the economy from the ground up, excite and unite workaday Americans in a shared mission, and provide a positive model for the rest of the world. Now that's sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone. Oh, frugal doodle, cried the naysayers in the White House, Congress, and oil corporations. Where are you going to get $300 billion to finance this? I say we should get it from where it went. Washington just doled out $350 billion from our public treasury to enrich elites who are already super rich. Let's put $300 billion of that back in the treasury to finance this Apollo program for the good of all, instead of watching the privileged stick it in foreign bank accounts or buy more mansions in France. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the Apollo proposal for yourself, check out ApolloAlliance.org.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, friends and patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast and around the world. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. I want to clean up, you know, sometimes you get up against against a deadline. I mean, the deadline being the music's coming and the show is ending and I'm just blithering here. The point I wanted to make at the end of the last hour was that Democrats and Republicans alike put forth candidates for judicial positions of all races. The Republicans, particularly over the last 10 years, largely since Karl Rove started this thing in the late 80s in Texas, and this whole movement now, 29 states have gotten into the act of making judges elected and bringing corporations in to run the show and help pay and fund their elections so that they can then rule in favor of corporations. That when the Republicans put forward a corporate shill as a judicial nominee, well, let's go to the Democrats. When the Democrats put forth a nominee, it's very rare when their nominees get shot down and they are members of a minority, that the Democrats cry racism. Because they're just practical. I mean, the reality is that no reasonable politician at the national level is going to be voting based on race. Just, you know, it doesn't happen. I mean, you know, maybe in the 50s or 60s, maybe in the 70s or 80s, I would say, frankly, I don't know how long has it been since David Duke was around, but it's just not only are, I think, most people these days, at least those who are plugged in enough to be in an elected office, no longer fundamentally racist, but it's also, you know, political suicide. I mean, it is a practical consideration as well. So anyhow, the Democrats don't accuse the Republicans of racism, by and large, when the Republicans oppose their nominees. But the Republicans, when the Democrats start talking about their nominees and pointing out that they are corporate shills, if the person is Catholic, they say, oh, the Democrats are anti-Catholic. If the person is black, oh, they're anti-African-American. If the person is Latino, oh, they're anti-Hispanic. They pull these canards, this racism, out of the hat so easily and so quickly. And it's just, in my opinion, it's a tragedy for democracy in the United States. Anyhow, are you working too much? Today is Take Back Your Time Day. Ta-da! Yes, indeed, folks, it's Take Back Your Time Day. The Mark Engler and Newsday magazine, this was on Common Dreams, an article about it, called You May Justifiably Want to Take Friday Off. Today is National Take Back Your Time Day. Many have called out of work today to honor the vacation that they don't have. This sounds funny at first, but think about this seriously. Take Back Your Time Day was organized by a group of economists and nonprofit activists who suggest that as a society, we are working more now than ever before, literally than ever before, and that's not healthy. It's not healthy for us individually, and it's not healthy for our society as a whole. If our workload were the same as the rest of the industrialized world, starting today, the 24th of October, day 102 of the search for the White House leaker, day 257 of the search for Saddam Hussein and weapons of mass destruction, and day 772 of the search for Osama bin Laden on today, October 24th, if we had the same kind of vacations that the rest of the industrialized world has, we would take off today until January 1st. Not too shabby, huh? The average American works 350 more hours, that's about 9 weeks per year, than the average Western European. And they're no slouches. I mean, their economy, you know, given that George Bush has run our economy into the tank and thrown us into so much debt that even China is starting to think that we're a bad investment. Europeans are doing just fine, thank you very much. And we work on average 9 weeks per year more than the average Western European. Americans put in 199 more hours of work now than we did back in 1973. But despite working harder, most people in the middle class are barely staying afloat. Real wages have declined since 1973. People are putting in more hours just to pay the exact same bills. Our days are filled with stress. Our meals are rushed. Our family time is microcosmic. Technology, which we thought was going to save us, right? Oh, if I just get a computer, I'll save so much time. And suddenly, we're spending, what, 2 hours a day answering emails? Cleaning our computers, fixing them, and heaven forbid you should have to install some new software, particularly if it's from Microsoft, and you can't, oh, it's an upgrade. Well, where's the original disk? I don't know. What did I do with it? Where did it go? Ah! It's incredible. What are considered necessities are almost treated like they're luxuries. It's and vice versa. There's a national myth that this hard work is marching us to economic progress, but it's simply that, a myth. It's not true. We are working harder than ever and making less money than at any time in the past 30 years. In fact, making the American middle class
started going upward in the 1930s and slowly and gradually continued up, 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 right up until the late 1970s, early 1980s, and the first Reagan tax cut. Kennedy took the top marginal rate from 90% to 70%, and Reagan took it from 70 down to about 50, as I recall, in the first whack. And as that happened, we suddenly saw this gap open up. And the wealthiest in America started getting richer and richer, and they stopped investing their money in American business. Because the middle class and the poor, who represent the vast amount of purchasing that is done in the United States, most products that are sold in America are not bought by rich people. Because those people didn't have the money to buy things anymore. So it was a disincentive to grow and expand businesses. And the result of that has been the collapse of the middle class. And it is an ongoing, and it's an ongoing process. We're seeing the labor strains. Companies are requiring mandatory overtime. This not only hurts the overworked, it also hurts the underemployed. Right? This takes up jobs. Instead of asking people to work mandatory overtime, they should be hiring part-time people. But they're not. Because it's cheaper to have somebody work overtime. And now, of course, the Republicans have proposed this legislation this year that would say that all the company has to do is call you a manager, and you no longer even get paid for your overtime. And cut back on the hours part-timers can work, keeping them further away from full-time status where benefits kick in. You know, Walmart has become the master of this. But a lot of companies are figuring this out. They're doing the same thing. The time crunch has corresponded with a decline in labor union membership. Remember, it's the unions that gave us the 40-hour week, that gave us the weekends off, that fought for the weekends off. And there's this thing called the union effect. That companies pay good wages because there are unions out there that are requiring employers to pay good wages to their people, and that helps define the status of the labor market. Well, if you can create enough unemployment, you can break that. You can break that. You can see, this is the strategy. And it's really extraordinary when you think about how well tuned it is. In Charles Kelly's book, I'm drawing a blank on the name of it, but you can see it on Amazon.com. Charles Kelly, in his most recent book, he talks about how Alan Greenspan, over and over and over and over, says that the purpose of the Fed, the main job that they have, is to keep workers insecure. That whenever the economy gets a little too hot, that they cool it down by increasing interest rates. And they do that for the single reason of reducing wages, keeping corporations more and increasingly more profitable. So an economic downturn is of tremendous benefit to the corporations in America who want to squeeze workers more and more and more, because people get more and more afraid, you know, am I going to have a job tomorrow? And less willing to take on the risk of unionizing. This is creating an economic bust. Here you got Bush. He's doing two major things to advance an ideological agenda, throwing this nation into $2 to $3 trillion in debt so that future legislatures will be forced to either raise taxes or cut spending in ways that are just unimaginable to most people. People say, oh, yeah, they need to cut back on the government waste. There's too much government waste. Find me $1 trillion worth of government waste. Nobody can do it. It's not there. Now, instead, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to cut aid to education. We're going to have to drain Social Security. We're going to have to do away with Medicare, which is what these guys want. Keep people insecure and afraid, and they make good slaves for the corporations. That's really and truly the bottom line. So you've got them wiping out the middle class and throwing the nation in debt. And the recession, you ever notice whenever Republicans come into power, there's immediately a recession, the Reagan recession that was so bad, the George H.W. Bush recession, the George W. Bush recession. And terrible recession. Bash the unions as badly as you can. And then just before the election, they crank out cash, they create more debt, which helps their social agenda because it makes it harder and harder for the government to continue programs that may benefit people, that may create a middle class, that may create a world, the world in which we would prefer to live, thank you very much. We would like to live in a world where the mentally ill can actually get help. One in six people in prison in the United States right now is mentally ill. We have three times as many people in prison being treated for mental illness as in mental hospitals because of funding slashing during the Reagan administration. This social agenda is incredible. And here, and the same thing with work. The checks and balances of are just being destroyed. And it's harming family life. So anyhow, today, take back your time day. Take the day off if you'd like, if you can. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us. And stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Tom Hartman in the Truth Zone.
Toyota owners, get over to your Toyota dealer and get this feeling. The feeling of winning a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. Toyota's giving away 12 of them, plus 1,000 more worth $100 each. Just bring your Toyota into your participating Toyota dealer for service and enter. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends October 31st. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents who are valid licensed drivers and 18 or older. Void in Hawaii. Official rules available at toyota.com/owners.
I am a popcorn enthusiast. Popcorn, the most provocative of all the snack foods. The silky smooth texture, the rich buttery ecstasy.
Ow! The unpopped kernels!
Don't let toothaches interfere with your life. When you can't get to the dentist, get Maximum Strength Ambisol. It contains the same strong pain relief medicine your dentist uses, so it works faster than you can say,
ah.
Maximum Strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone. Use as directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Fan ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fan ji la.
You know everything. Xie xie. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
on the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't
me?
I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I hear something saying, chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang.
Yeah, welcome to America. This is Tom Hartman. You're in the middle of a vast, radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations here on the IE America Radio Network. Boy, the folks in our chat room are so good. I got to tell you, there are some really extraordinary people in there. And one of them pointed out, and I'm sorry, folks, I can't take the time to scroll back and see who it was, but it pointed out that the centeronbudget.org, www.centeronbudget.org, has a remarkable paper. Federal income taxes as a share of GDP dropped the lowest level since 1942, according to final budget data. I saw a newspaper story that summarized this, but this piece here at centeronbudget.org has all the details, and it is fascinating. It's truly fascinating. And you can really see what's being done to America. We have in our family lives, by this slave laborification of America. If you don't have a union job right now, you have no protection. There's nothing between you and that company from, you know, boom, that's it. Out on the street. And this hyper competition is a consequence of this. This withdrawal of stability from the workplace that the unions provided from the 50s through the 70s and into the early 1980s when Reagan started dismantling them and attacking them, going for the jugular. Since the conservative takeover of America. This lack of security has led to a hyper competition where people are just, you know, they're climbing over each other to get the jobs, which is exactly what Greenspan talks about in Kelly's book and in the Wall Street Journal and in Forbes and in Fortune. That the goal of Fed policy is to keep workers insecure so we won't have wage inflation. He doesn't care about other forms of inflation, like real inflation. They just don't want wage inflation. And as a result, family life is disintegrating. Since the 1980s, sociologists tell us that structured activities that help prevent juvenile delinquency are collapsing. Globalization started heating up. Experts said American children needed to work harder to compete. Right? You got to compete against the Japanese. Got to learn more. You got to be better. You got to spare. And the product of this, the soccer mom culture. Frantically running our kids from place to place to get them the information, the education, the research, get them ahead. Parents got overzealous and things got out of hand, I would say. Because the adult ideas of hyper-competition and overscheduling have turned parenting into product development. There is a promising symbolic step. The Senate has responded with a resolution to make October National Work and Family Month. That's nice. Now, if we were part of the rest of the industrialized world, that is every other country in the world except the United States, that is, you know, one of the major powers of the world, Australia, several of the Southeast Asian countries, Japan, Western Europe,
then you could take off work today and stay gone until January 1st to put in the same number of hours as everybody else on the planet. So anyhow, the Senate has said, well, you know, let's resolve. This is not a law. This is simply, we're, you know, saying something. Quack, quack. National Work and Family Month, October. We need to increase the nation's consciousness about this issue. We should, you know, we should do this like Earth Day, you know. Let's wake people up. Let's tell them about this. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass destruction, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A shortage of oxygen could lead to a shortage of offspring for fish that live in polluted water. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Some forms of water pollution rob the water of oxygen. That's hard on fish, and sometimes the shortage of oxygen will kill the fish outright. In other cases, the fish might survive, but the stress they endure could wipe them out over the course of generations. A new study reports that low oxygen can put so much stress on fish that they have problems reproducing. The research was published earlier this year in the journal Environmental Science and Technology. One of the authors is Rudolph Wu, a biologist at the City University of Hong Kong. Wu studied two groups of carp in a laboratory setting. One group was exposed to low oxygen for up to 12 weeks. Their reproductive success was 90% lower than the group raised under normal conditions. Wu says oxygen depletion lowered the fertility of the fish by affecting their endocrine systems. The technical term for this shortage of oxygen is hypoxia. Wu says hypoxia is a growing problem in aquatic environments around the world.
And this has a huge impact on the fish. And so there's a very good reason to believe under hypoxia, all this population will decrease tremendously. And in fact, that's happening in a lot of aquatic systems over the world.
Oxygen depletion is often a consequence of water pollution by fertilizer and other organic waste. Wu says the low oxygen levels he used in his experiments were similar to conditions in some waters that have suffered this kind of pollution. Wu is continuing his research with other species of freshwater and saltwater fish. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It takes many of us so much time to work that we don't have time to vote. You know, there's a lot of people in America who are afraid to take time off work to go vote. We vote on Tuesdays. Therefore, and by and large, it's working people, and that's why every time it has been proposed to amend the Constitution to allow people to vote in national elections on a Saturday or a Sunday, or over a Sunday and a Monday, for example, or 2 days to vote, it gets shot down. Now, people are getting around that with absentee ballots, but a lot of people don't realize that you can file an absentee ballot even if you're not absent. You can just vote in advance. Now, the word is starting to get out. So anyhow, but the problem is that people are working so hard, they're not taking the time to pay attention to politics. And the consequence of this, democracy is harmed. So today is National kind of Take the Day Off Day. You can think about it. Maybe next year, right? We have, 1-800-TALK-YES, by the way, is our number. It's Friday afternoon. We got 25 minutes before the hour, 25 minutes left to go in the program. If there's anything you'd like to talk about today, give us a call. In the meantime, let me just share with you a little clip of George Bush in Australia.
Today, Saddam's regime is gone. And no one.
Senator Brown, I warn you, Senator Brown will excuse himself from the House.
Oh, no, he won't.
Senator Brown will excuse himself from the House.
No, he's just going to sit down.
The sergeant will remove Senator Brown from the House.
No, I don't think so. And so it goes. Three times he was interrupted as such. And we have a conservative alert for the day. This from Halliburton. Halliburton has generated an internal memo. This from the CEO, David Lazar, has directed his employees to counter the bad press they've been getting with a letter-writing campaign. You get this? Negative publicity from the Bush administration's award of a $7 billion no-bid contract to a Halliburton subsidiary with a history of overcharging the government has led Halliburton CEO David Lazar to direct his employees to counter with a letter-writing campaign, according to an internal company email. The Halliburton subsidiary was cited at least twice in the past 6 years by the GAO, the Government Accounting Office, for inflating costs. They paid a $2 million fine last year to settle a criminal charge for overbilling the government. One of the talking points in Lazar's memo sent out last Friday, this is just last week, was that Halliburton, and I quote from his memos, from his memo, Halliburton makes our troops more comfortable in a difficult environment by bringing shelter supplies, clean uniforms, and mail from home, end quote. According to published reports, however, as few as 20% of American soldiers in Iraq have access to purified waters, and entire units are suffering from dysentery. One senior military commander wrote that soldiers were, quote, using hoses from an Iraqi latrine stall to get water enough to maintain their hygienic needs, end quote. Thank you, Halliburton. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Chuck in West Virginia is on the line. Chuck, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. How you doing? It's nice to talk to you.
Say that again?
Yeah, I said it's nice to talk to you.
Oh, great. Well, thank you. I am fine.
Yeah, I just got my satellite radio and loving this, actually getting a different view and hearing people that agree that I agree with, finally.
Well, thank you. It's nice that we're on Sirius Satellite and that more people are tuning into it. It's also nice that increasingly more radio stations around the country are picking up this program and others like it. We're actually seeing, I think, the renaissance of public debate, you know, of both sides of the argument being presented in the public now.
Well, it needs to be there so bad because it just the you know, I've spent a lot of time in the vehicle and I've spent the last 3 years listening to, you know, Rush and Sean just because I get sick of listening to music after time. And, you know, sports radio gets old after a while, too. And it's just it's just awesome to be able to hear, you know, most of my ideas I've come up with pretty much on my own. And, you know, when I first started listening, it's easy to go that conservative route. But when you think about it, everything for a second, you go, wait a minute. That all doesn't really make sense. It makes it a little too easy, you know, to go, cut taxes, make jobs. That sounds real easy, but it doesn't exactly work that way.
No, it doesn't at all work that way, actually. I mean, if you were to cut the taxes on the lowest of, you know, on the bottom, if the tax cut were exclusively for people making less than $80,000 a year, then you would have an immediate stimulation of jobs. There's this thing called velocity of money in an economy. You would have an immediate stimulation, and that stimulation of demand would produce jobs. But when you cut taxes for people who are making $30 million a year and they're getting, you know, $600,000, $700,000 tax cut, they're not going to go out and say, gee, I think I'll build a factory with a $600,000. No, they take that money and they invest it someplace. They buy stocks. And just because somebody has bought stock, that money is not even going to the corporation. You go to the stock market and you buy stocks, and it just bids up the price of stocks. And you're basically just dealing with somebody else who had owned that stock. Only if you buy on an IPO are you actually giving money to the corporation, which is very rare. So pardon the digression there. Anyhow, that's not what you called about, Chuck. I suspect you have something specific on your mind.
Yeah, I haven't, I just heard this today, and I had to kind of look for it a little bit. The Washington Post has an article deep down in it about President Bush is, or the White House, somebody has said that they don't want any pictures and they're putting up screens of the coffins coming back to the United States from Iraq.
Yeah, I reported
which is a huge break from tradition with us, with the United States. You know, usually there's a ceremony. During World War II, there was a ceremony, and, you know, it was used to pump morale up for, you know, for the war, actually, in the World War II. Say, hey, look what they're doing to our boys. Let's, you know, get back over there and, you know, hey, let's go, you know. And I guess it backfired on them a little bit in Vietnam, but now Bush is just wanting to act like, oh, there are no deaths. And I even heard Hannity not too long ago say, well, you can prove that the media is left-wing bias because they... You know, they actually tell you how many people died every day. Why do we need to hear that every day? Well, it's news. You know, why do we want to know who died
every
day?
Get a clue, Bozo.
Like, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm perplexed that mainstream media ain't picking this up any at all because, I mean, it is a national tradition.
Well, I talked about this on, I think it was Wednesday this week.
I didn't have my installed yet, so.
Yeah, well, and the story that I was reading it from, I think, was an Associated Press story. It just got buried, basically. It was on Common Dreams and stuff. I mean, it was on all the progressive websites. But yeah, Clinton visited. George Bush has not seen a single dead body. He has not seen a single casket. He has not seen any of these people come back. And even when he did his little tour of Walter Reed, they didn't let him see the people who were paraplegic or quadriplegic or who had lost limbs. They took him in to see the people who had minor injuries, so that he could have nice photo ops with them. He has, you know, he is not confronting the reality of what's going on, and he's not allowing the American people to, because starting about a month, starting in March or April of this year, the Pentagon came down with this decree that there will be no cameras at Dover Air Force Base or at Ramstein Air Force Base, the two places where they bring the bodies. No more, period. That's it. Ain't going to happen.
It really upsets me. I'm a former Marine, and I've done overseas duty, and hostile area duties. I missed out on any major wars, but I did have some things, and you know, thought crosses your mind, you know, so I kind of, you kind of know what happens when you do get sent home in a body bag. And, you know, it's disrespectful to these soldiers and these Marines and these fighting men and women of America to just act like it's not there and put them behind a shroud, you know?
Yeah, I agree, Chuck. I agree. It's terrible. I appreciate your call, too. Thank you very much. 1-800-TALK and spread the word. Tell more people about it, please, about this event. Tell them about the show, too. That's great. Chuck, very, very kind of you to be listening in and to call. 1-800-TALK, yes. 1-800-825-5937. And George in New York. Is that New York City or New York State, George?
New York State.
Whereabouts?
Long Island.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
What sort of New York City?
I heard you talking earlier about Halliburton, and I wondered if you've seen the story from the Christian Aid Group about the $4 billion they estimate that has been taken by the coalition forces from Iraq's money they had before the war, and which they cannot account for. They talk about it being down a black hole.
Yeah, lest our listeners not know what you're talking about, let me just read this two sentences here from today's progress report from the Center for American Progress. Today, the British charity Christian Aid reported, quote, a staggering $4 billion in oil revenues and other Iraqi funds earmarked for the reconstruction of the country has disappeared into opaque bank accounts administered by the Coalition Provisional Authority. By the end of the year, if nothing changes in the way this cash is accounted for, that figure will double. And U.S. Representatives Henry Waxman and John Dingell have now demanded that Halliburton be barred from receiving any more contracts because of its shady dealings. End quote.
Well, yes. That's it. And the point that I wanted to make about it was, you know, recently there was a lot of flack about Condi Rice being appointed the head of some new, I don't remember the name of the group, but basically she was supposed to be now in charge of the reconstruction in Iraq. Is that correct? I believe that's what she was appointed to. And it was supposed to mean that Rumsfeld's star was fading or something.
But yeah, there was a momentary blip there.
Well, when you look at this story, though, the one thing about Condi Rice is that she cannot be subpoenaed by Congress. And they may have put her in charge of this money, and this is maybe paranoid, but they may have put her in charge of this money so that they can't be held accountable. Because Rumsfeld was approved by the Senate. He would have to be up here.
Right, he's a cabinet officer. She's just an advisor.
Well, but wasn't she put in charge of some group that was now in charge of Iraq or something? What was that group they made her the head of?
Yeah, yes, she was. And I don't have the news story in front of me. It's been a couple of weeks.
Well, that was my thought, that they knew this report was coming out and that they switched her over so that she can, you know, take the money and hide it. That's all. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, well, good point, George. Thank you for calling and sharing that with us. With this gang in charge, it's hard not to end up feeling like a conspiracy theorist on some day. You know, it's like, could it really be? I mean, could it really be that there's a political? You know, why did they keep in their back pocket for 3 weeks the fact that this guy, this terrorist, was arrested in some place, and then on the very day that some scandal about the administration erupts in the newspaper, they pull it out of their back pocket and completely change the focus of the news cycle? You know, can it really be? They are. Oh, it's Machiavelli must be smiling wherever he is. 1-800-TALK, yes, 1-800-825-5937. Mike in Washington, D.C. on the line. Mike, thank you for calling. I'll be in your fair city next week.
Oh, good. Where? When?
I'll be at the Center for American Progress Conference, which is at one of the Marriott's. It's all on their website, AmericanProgress.org. I'll be getting in there late Monday night, and the conference is Tuesday and Wednesday morning. I'm flying out Wednesday afternoon. But I'll be actually broadcasting this program live from that conference.
Good. And that's on your website?
It's not on my website, but it's on theirs.
Okay.
AmericanProgress.org.
Okay. Well, I'll see if I can maybe come down and shake your hand.
Yeah, it would be great to meet you. And if you can get down there, it promises to be a show worth seeing. Wesley Clark is going to be speaking, and a whole bunch of other Democratic luminaries and whatnot. Anyhow, that's not what you called about, I'm sure.
No. But you know, I'm getting more than slightly annoyed when I listen to some of these yo-yos that are sitting here and trying to justify the massive tax cuts for the ultra-wealthy, as this is going to somehow rev up the economy. Whereas, as you've been saying, you know, the people who already have a great deal of wealth, the extra money isn't going to go into the economy. It's going to go into, quote, investments. And the problem of it is, you know, when you already have the basics covered, food, shelter, and so forth, that's generally what happens. It's the working class people who are struggling to meet the basic necessities that could really use those tax cuts and put them to good use in the economy.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, it's a message that needs to get out. Tag, you're it. Now, pass it along.
I mean,
Mike,
you know,
thanks.
You can't sleep in more than one bed at a time.
There you go.
You can't drive more than one SUV at a time.
Yeah. At a certain level, as I said earlier, at a certain level, consumption just, you know, generally tapers off. And for anybody who's at all rational, Mike, thanks for the call. I appreciate your kind comments. 1-800-TALK. Yes, Whistle in Alabama is on the line. Whistle from our chat room, I'm assuming.
Hello.
Hello.
I couldn't tell if you could hear me or not.
I can now.
I thought that was an interesting comment you made earlier about the people working so hard they can't get out and vote and can't follow the politics, because while we're working, we're listening to our radios, and we've got Rush Limbaugh blasting at us and G. Gordon Liddy, and no wonder there's such a right-wing swing in the country.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? You've got convicted felon Liddy, you've got convicted felon North, and then, of course, his conviction was reversed on a technicality. You've got an unconvicted felon Limbaugh. I mean, and that's not to say, you know, I mean, back in the 60s, I should have said just say no, you know, but it's still, I think that...
We're not going to go there. We're not going to talk about that.
It's just very strange what's going on with right-wing radio.
It scares me. Yeah. I mean, it does scare me that whenever Republicans get in power, the jobs fall back, the economy gets rough, and I make a marginal living as it is, and it's really frightening to see how the economy turns.
Yeah, it is, and that's the agenda. That is their whole goal. Whistle is to keep us afraid so that we will put up with corporate domination. This is the new feudalism of America, the rising aristocracy taking over, grabbing us by the throat. This is Tom Hartman in the Truth Zone. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Toyota owners, get over to your Toyota dealer and get this feeling. The feeling of winning a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. Toyota's giving away 12 of them, plus 1,000 more worth $100 each. Just bring your Toyota into your participating Toyota dealer for service and enter. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends October 31st. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents who are valid licensed drivers and 18 or older. Void in Hawaii. Official rules available at toyota.com/owners.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Tom Hartman Show.
For the computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brainshrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters.
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the True People's Radio, the Tom Hartman Program, here on the IE America Radio Network. One of the folks in our chat room said, we need to remind people, as FDR said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. And, in fact, it reminded me of one of my favorite clips from FDR's 1936 speech to the Democratic National Committee, or the Democratic Party annual, the big conference where he was nominated to run again for President of the United States. And he talked about the economic royalists who had risen up and seized control of America, the corporate economic royalists, he called them. And he said, it is our obligation to challenge them. And he said that they are saying that we're trying to destroy the institutions of America, but no, we're not. We're simply trying to stop them, as he said so eloquently back in 1936.
These economic royalists complain that we seek to overthrow the institutions of America. What they really complain of is that we seek to take away their power. Our allegiance to American institutions requires the overthrow of this kind of power.
And that kind of power has reared its head again, and it is wrapping itself in the flag and patriotism and saying, no, no, if you believe in America, you believe in corporations. And FDR had some thoughts on that, too.
In vain, they seek to hide behind the flag and the Constitution. But in their blindness, they forget what the flag and the Constitution stand for.
Yeah, amen. And here, over what has Bushonomics brought us? Over half of states cut eligibility for public health insurance for 2003. Over a third did in 2004. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities reports that most of the cuts have affected children and parents in families in which the parents work in low-wage jobs. Texas, for example, is kicking 170,000 children in working families out of its CHIP program. These are families that will not be able to afford any sort of health care now. Time to change. Time to change America. We can wake folks up. Tag, you're it. Pass it along. Spread the good word. Our program today, engineered in Detroit by Steph Stryker and Steve Damschroeder, produced by Joe McPherson. Joe, great job in Atlanta, Georgia, and Louise Hartman here in Vermont. Thanks for joining us. Tune in Monday. Same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.